It's Thursday, the 25th of October, 2012. I'm Alex Jones. Strap yourselves in for another original teleprompter-free edition of InfoWars Nightly News. Straight ahead.
Tonight on the InfoWars Nightly News. Organic food is not good for kids, declares the Academy of Pediatrics. Plus, Novartis flu vaccines banned in Italy. Then, preppers beware. Using common sense during an economic collapse is now a terrorist act. And Alex Jones speaks with Brian Gerrish about pedophiles in places of power.
They want to draw politicians and bankers and top policemen and military men into this depraved area of child abuse, because the moment they've been caught in that net, they can be blackmailed to do the rest of their bidding.
All that and more on the InfoWars Nightly News.
First off tonight, Hurricane Sandy is being called, well, the perfect storm by the Associated Press, Frankenstorm in the International Business Times and Bloomberg, because as it goes up the East Coast, it's now off the coast of Florida, it's passed over Cuba, it is headed up the East Coast to hit New York and New Jersey after going by Washington, D.C. And the fact that winter storms are projected in the next 4 or 5 days as it makes landfall to collide, you've got hot hurricane, tropical storm by the time it makes landfall, going in towards a blue norther. That's the kind of thing in the spring that gives you tornadoes. So it is being called by meteorologists, well, you heard it, Frankenstorm and the perfect storm. We all saw what happened to George Clooney in that movie. So and that storm actually happened back, what, in 1991, the last perfect storm. So look out, ladies and gentlemen. We'll continue to watch this. And that'll be a perfect disaster right before the election with all the other craziness that's going on. We hope it doesn't turn out to be a disaster. Hopefully it turns out to sea into the Atlantic and doesn't kill fishermen like the perfect storm did in that same area doing the same thing in 1991. But there is that report. Now, let's go ahead and shift gears away from the storm here to some good news. Bloomberg is also reporting Italy bans flu vaccine, citing side effects. Italy and Switzerland halted sales of the AG-traded NOVN flu vaccine after the company informed Italian authorities of a buildup of particles in the shots. And it goes on with the company saying that it is safe. The vaccines present quality defects that are potentially hazardous for the public health. Well, there you go. I mean, they know the flu vaccine massively increases Alzheimer's in major studies, reduces your fertility, causes all sorts of neurological disorders like Guillain-Barré. Don't believe me. Just go read the inserts. But I thought I'd take you back to reports in Time magazine. The Examiner reports on this. Swine flu vaccine safety. German politicians get Schaefer swine flu vaccine. Remember that 4 years ago? So they're taking something other than what they want you to take. Now, moving ahead here, the Los Angeles Times runs with this shocking headline. Prop 37 is in dead heat amid ad blitz. Just 2 weeks ago here on air, we covered polls that were in the LA Times. Where the vast majority, well, 2-1, were for GMO labeling. Hey, just let me know if you've crossed, you know, insect genes with this corn, or if the corn's growing its own pesticide, or if things like that. But because of pesticide companies, GMO companies, Big Agra, they are running so many ads right now saying it's preposterous, it's going to increase your food prices. The last thing you want to do is know what's in your food. We're good people. Just take the shots and get out of our way. You know, take the pharmacological corn. Everything's okay. And support for Proposition 37, which seeks to label genetically engineered food in the state, has plummeted in the last month. Times UC USC poll finds. Of course, really, a lot of these polls in the past have been found to be skewed. They can just tell you, well, it doesn't matter if you were going to vote this down 2-1. Now the polls show you love it. So after a barrage of negative television advertisements financed by $41 million opposition war chest, the USC Los Angeles Times poll revealed Thursday showed 44% of surveyed voters backed the initiative and 42% opposing it. A substantial slice of the electorate, 14%, remains undecided or unwilling to take a position. If you believe the public doesn't want to know of GMOs in their food, I got a bridge to sell you. California is normally the bellwether to pass gun control restrictions on freedom. Now it's pushing for freedom. It's a bellwether that will spread not just in the U.S., but worldwide. So Monsanto and other dangerous actors, they are running around right now, throwing the kitchen sink at this. But, hey, you can run, but you can't hide. The truth is getting out there, and nobody's going to stop us being able to know if pharmacological crops are being fed to us, that you feed to the bugs, they die. They have the crops grow their own pesticide in many cases, in many varieties, so that bugs can't eat it. Well, you know what? I don't want to eat it. And the fact that even Whole Foods can't say they're not serving a GMO shows how ridiculous all this has gotten. Here's a story by Melissa Melton. I saw a study a few weeks ago where they said, hey, organic isn't necessarily better. But they admitted in that study that we're not looking at what pesticide does to you. We're just saying it gives you the same nutritional value. And they admitted that study was funded by Monsanto. Well, here's another one. Academy of Pediatricians say organic food not better for kids. And it goes on, but the needed long-term studies do not yet exist to show that eating pesticide-free food makes people healthier. So just absolutely ridiculous there. Continuing with the Washington Post, provocative research could lead to babies with DNA from three people avoiding rare disease risk. And that's where all this is going, is they're going to say you've got a predisposition for this disorder or that disorder, and then you're not going to be able to be born. They're going to say, you got to go to government or government health care. They're already proposing this, and we'll take your DNA, and we'll make an egg, and we'll make the sperm. They can already do that, and we'll make a baby for you, but with all sorts of back doors built into it, just like they build backdoor spying systems into your cell phones and other systems. Scientists in Oregon have created embryos with genes from one man and two women using a provocative technique that could someday be used to prevent babies from inheriting certain rare incommunicable diseases. Let's just expand on that. A lot of these genetic disorders, yeah, you're predisposed to get a disorder even quicker if you've got certain genes, if you aren't getting the right vitamins and minerals. But they'll never tell you why all the disorders are exploding. They'll never tell you why breast cancer is exploding. It's never race to find the cause. It's always race to find the cure, which they never find. And the more money you spend on them, the worse it gets, and more people die of cancer. It's part of a eugenics operation where they pose as the savior, killing us while consolidating the economy. Okay, this was our top story last night with Rob Dew doing an excellent interview. The video is up at Infowars.com. National Guard whistleblower, doomsday preppers will be treated as terrorists. And in the other article by Melissa Melton, she goes through all the documents backing up everything that Soldier X broke down on air. Then we talked to police officers and others today about FM 3-39.40 and internment and resettlement operations and civil disturbance operations, all these different Army documents we linked to, the National Defense Authorization Act, the Civilian Inmate Labor Camp Program, proving that the military is preparing to go after Americans that don't accept total tyranny and reorganization of the economy around the Maoist Great Leap Forward Cultural Revolution model, based off of what the Soviets did, starving people out in the Ukraine and Poland. So absolutely huge situation. We've got some graphics as well that go over all these areas. But I was able to interview Soldier X as well, again, on the radio today, expanding on that. But that video is important to get out. Army told preppers are terrorists and they are to be hunted down and killed during a collapse. Well, you can't have, you're re-educating everybody through starvation. You can't have folks that knew what was happening dug in. They're obviously folks statistically that know your globalist takeover system. So they've got to be targeted because they're informed. Continuing, U.S.-Israel hold largest ever joint military drill. CBS News is reporting on that all the time while tensions increase with Iran and Al-Qaeda, U.S., NATO forces, Turkey-based forces, attack Syria, trying to give that country over to Al-Qaeda. And a year after the murder of Muammar Gaddafi and the insertion of Al-Qaeda in Libya, there's now military operations there against Al-Qaeda our government put in. And we predicted that the U.S. and Israel simulated rocket attacks during the largest ever joint military drill yesterday, just as the real ones fired from Gaza exploded in southern Israel. U.S. military officials, not servants, but officials, insisted the joint exercise called Austere Challenge 2012 was planned long before the latest flare-up between Israel and Hamas ruled Gaza and long-running debate over how to deal with Iran, unrelated to specific threats facing Israel. And I'm sure all the threats to attack Iran are unrelated, or the three aircraft carriers stacking up in the Persian Gulf. I'm sure it's all related. Be sure and drink your Diet Coke with aspartame. Be sure and eat your GMO. Be sure and take all your vaccines. And be sure and worship the government. Because after all, they want to arrest evil people that are trying to prepare themselves for the economic collapse. God bless. Well, I'm not going to be sarcastic saying God bless. God bless those fighting the New World Order. I was going to say God bless the tyrants, but I'm just not even going to be sarcastic in that area. Here's a quote before we come back with some bombshell information. The Parliament of the UK is looking at investigations into giant pedophile networks through the children charities. I mean, you could take one look at the CPS workers in England and here. Just go to a family court case and watch them snatching kids. They don't take the real at-risk kids. They want your healthy child to sell off to the highest bidder after they have a little demonic fun with them. I mean, you want to look at a bunch of people that look like Jerry Sandusky crossed with this British top pedophile with the BBC, Mr. Saville. I mean, it's incredible. These people literally lick their lips when they drag kids away from their parents, and they literally look like pot-bellied versions of that man on your screen. That's not Emperor Palpatine, ladies and gentlemen. That's the BBC pervert master. So we're going to be covering these demonic people right out of hell straight ahead. But first, let me read Paul Volcker, who's announced he wants to destroy America and bring in world government, former U.S. Federal Reserve Chair. A global economy requires a global currency. So there is your quote right there today. And I didn't even get to Paul Watson's top story today, which is so incredible. Can we pull that up and play that? He has an excerpt of it. Can we go there to Infowars.com? Folks, 2 days ago, 2.5 days ago, Tuesday night, it's Thursday night, I almost forgot about this. Ted Turner went on CNN that he created with the British intel master, who's in all this deep trouble right now. We're going to play audio of that in just a second, guys. Get it ready. And he said that it's a good thing that the troops are committing suicide. And he almost says fantastic, but he says it's good they're killing themselves, and that the UN should run everything. Yeah, the murdering criminal United Nations. So I'm glad that we're adding that to here. I mean, this is just so amazing, because it's not just that he's a eugenicist who calls the public useless eaters who need to be killed and all this other stuff. It's the fact that the media and our culture is so broken that he can get up there and say it's a good thing the troops are killing themselves in record numbers, and it's not even a news issue. And it took our listeners, great people they are, 2 days to get us an email, and we reported on it, thanks to our listeners. It took 2 days for somebody to report on this. And it just shows the absolute decadence. This guy has 5 kids, and he says you shouldn't be able to have kids. This guy is a pig who talks about peace. Peace, the UN is a mass murder organization. Here is an excerpt of some of those disgusting clips.
More American servicemen are dying from suicide
over there than are dying in combat.
I mean, that's shocking, isn't it?
Well, I think it's good.
Ted, what do you think America's place in the new world order should be? It's always been seen as the global policeman.
The global policeman should be the United Nations.
And that's a briefer excerpt. The entire thing, unedited, is linked in that story at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.com. So, again, we're bad because we like George Washington. We're bad because we like Second Amendment. I mean, it feels so good to be asleep at my house at night knowing I got guns. I'm not scared of robbers. You come to my house, it's like invading the Alamo or something. It's like invading a badger's nest. I mean, I've just had enough of it. And it's time to end this tyranny. All right, we're going to go to break, and we're going to go deep into the demonic rabbit hole of globalist pedophile satanic networks that is now breaking worldwide. You think Jerry Sandusky running a child's advocacy group of at-risk youth is bad? Get ready. But first, we're going to break down how NGOs and Agenda 21 work worldwide, how this criminal mafia of just burrowing globalists are in your area, but how the light of truth will burn these vampires to a crisp. Keep the faith, my friends. We will be right back after this quick break.
While we fight to retain our liberty, while we fight to expose globalism, we have to realize we're talking about a very powerful combination of power.
Renowned author and expert Joel Skousen breaks down the globalist plan to shut down America and stage a new world war.
In one day, America will go from day to night. And if you haven't prepared in advance, there's not enough time to prepare in 24 hours, even if you saw it that early.
Coming to the InfoWar in November is our new documentary film presentation.
Strategic relocation is a systematic way to think strategically in the future about how do I safeguard.
Joel Skousen, Strategic Relocation.
The freeways are going to be crowded. They're going to run out of gasoline. They're going to run out of food. And then they're going to start to go north and south of those freeways.
Joel Skousen is renowned as one of the world's foremost experts in strategic relocation and the securing of your home.
We talk about natural disasters, the health environment. We talk about pollution, the water quality. My personal experience about being in every one of these states.
Government is digging in for the organized, incremental collapse of society and world war.
The U.S. isn't building huge underground bases and bunkers because of some terrorist threat. They know that a massive nuclear attack is coming. They want that attack to come. Most people won't even be ready and won't be able to get out of town when any of these nuclear weapons fall. Because there'll be absolute panic.
There is no preparedness without strategy.
What I tell people is that you do have time. Prepare wisely in advance.
This Christmas, give the gift of preparedness. Strategic Relocation, the film, with Joel Skousen and Alex Jones.
Agree with you, but I'll defend to the death your right to make an ass of yourself. Thank you, Oscar Wilde. I'm Chrissy Hightower here with a quick Planet InfoWars update. Now, I want to talk to you about the first article titled The New Terrorism Strangling Free Speech by Planet InfoWars user Prometheus Unchained. Now, as I'm sure you do, you consider yourself a patriot. Well, Prometheus goes to point out that the government is picking and choosing which ideologies and philosophies are good and which ones are bad. That is not their place. It's a rule by fear of force. Now, we all have friends that disagree with us, but keep in mind Oscar Wilde's quote, whenever you want to get angry with them. You know, this is the plan, and it's a great one, to divide the people, keep us fighting amongst ourselves and completely ignorant to what lies ahead of us. Now, people are always asking Alex this question, you know, what do I do when my family isn't awake, when my friends or my family don't pay attention, don't seem to care? And he always answers the same way. He says, be persistent, be patient, and most importantly, be full of love. And this is a big thing to remember because it's really easy to get angry. Changing gears here, we're going to talk about the upcoming collapse. So do you think you could survive on $500? Well, Planet InfoWars user Giovalli Report explains exactly how to do that. In his article, Live While They Die, How to Survive the Coming Collapse with $500. He provides a practical guide, starting with situational awareness, all the way to a prepared checklist and medical kit, etc. So go check that out, because quite catchy there. And the last article I kind of want to touch on is our food. Now, we all obviously have to eat to survive. And this is actually a repost, but it's by Planet InfoWars user Mia Kay. And she's titled it Rethinking the Dollar Hamburger. So did you know that there's four companies that control over 80% of the U.S. beef? And they run only a couple dozen processing plants. And these cows are injected with antibiotics and hormones their whole lives. They live in filth. And then they're killed with a bolt to the head and mechanically disassembled at a rate of hundreds per hour. Now, I just want to remind you, we all vote with our dollars. And we all have a right to do so. So keep that in mind the next time you go to the grocery store, the next time you go to that McDonald's Happy Meal, whatever. Just keep in mind that what you're doing is actually giving a voice to those people. So visit planetinfowars.com and join the fight today. Patriots, keep talking because we're listening.
My friends, Alex Jones here with a very important announcement. We are launching a new salvo in the InfoWar because there is a war on for your mind. You know that the globalists are trying to get everybody online and only online so that they can control and surveil information and also erase books, videos, whatever they want to en masse. That's why we're launching our answer to the internet kill switch, InfoWars Magazine. The first issue, we printed over 90,000 copies of a September issue, and it sold out in less than 2 days. So get your copy of the new technocratic elite issue today before it sells out. Again, we cover from the technocratic social engineers' own words, their own admissions, their plan to take over our society and replace us with robots. But we don't just stop with the rise of the robots and the end of humanity, or will humanity survive the singularity? We get into the government buying now 1.6 billion bullets against the American people. We get into Big Sis's surveillance of this magazine and my website, InfoWars.com. We cover QE3 and what hyperinflation means to you and your family. Whatever you do, don't look back later and wish that you would have taken action. Take action now. People have never been more ready for this information. People have never been this hungry, starving for the truth. And it is contained in the new issue of InfoWars Magazine. This is a time capsule. It is so important we get it out to everyone. If you subscribe now for 12 issues, we will give you the first issue absolutely free. So that's 13 issues for our 13 colonies, part of restoring the spirit of 1776 worldwide.
Again, go to InfoWarsStore.com and order 10 packs, up to 100 packs at cost, and give them out to people in your area. The response last month was incredible. People are hungry to actually hold this information in their hands. You can also subscribe and get 12 issues delivered to your door and get the first inaugural issue free. I'm Alex Jones, thanking all of you for your support and making our operation a huge success.
Welcome back to InfoWars Nightly News. You know, we go wherever the truth leads us, and the globalists operate basically in the dark to the general public only because the general public is so focused on sports, entertainment, the latest tabloid garbage. So the establishment pretty much operates in plain view of everyone who is awake. The problem is the general public is so naive, and we saw this with Nazi Germany and things. People couldn't believe what they were doing, or mass murder of tens of millions went on from 1917 up into the late 40s in the Soviet Union, and people called it a conspiracy theorist. J. Edgar Hoover, the head of the FBI, in 1951 testified before Congress that there was no such thing as organized crime or La Cosa Nostra. We now know that's ridiculous today. And it is this naivete that allows evil to operate. Now, we're going to break down with one of the leading fighters for liberty over in England in a moment, Brian Gerrish, how the tax-free foundations and so-called, you know, charity takeover of the West ties into some very, very dark areas of intelligence gathering, surveillance, you name it. and how children's charities are at the heart of this. In Europe, in England, I've had members of parliament on from England. Same story as Congress people I've had on from state legislatures and federal. It's the same story. CPS, very high levels of pedophiles on record. Highest level of pedophilia, even the Justice Department says is in CPS. Just incredible information, Child Protective Services. And more we understand this is what you have to be involved in to get into the highest levels. We're dealing with a pedophile cult. At the heart, there's also a lot of occultism and Satanism. We've seen, of course, you know, the big sex orgy type stuff that Dominique Strauss-Kahn admits with prostitutes that was described by the New York Times as eyes wide shut. That's really the parlor entrance to all of this. You've got to be fully compromised, and that's what we see connected into Skull and Bones, Bohemian Grove, so many of these things. And for those of us that are seen as, you know, squares or seen as profane and pathetic, who are just normal and like our families, like our wives, like our husbands, we are the bad guys, and we don't pass the test to get into the higher rooms, and that's why evil has been in control for so long. And if you look at every ancient culture ended up being taken over by corrupt elements, and it always ended up with, give us your virgins for sacrifice. Give us your children for sacrifice. And so there is a psychopathic, sadistic subgroup, a cancerous group of humans. It's a very small percentage of the population, but through history in every culture, from the ancient Druids to the Babylonians to the Aztecs, right through every other culture, you see this aberration form. Now, I'm kind of giving a little upfront history lesson here, but we told you over a year ago that Jerry Sandusky from our sources at Penn State was running a big foundation for at-risk little children and that he was pimping them out to very powerful people. And that's now come out in the mainstream news that it didn't just stop there and the top of the university was covering it up. Yeah, no kidding. He was raping children at high noon in the middle of the day in the field house. Anybody who's played football knows a field house in high school or college is like an anthill. This is, you know, in the middle of the day. This was something being protected. And now we've seen the case of Jimmy Savile, or Savile over in England, the big BBC presenter, who was always involved in children's charities and also a porter, at different hospitals. And I've talked to journalists who in the 90s had been told about the pedophilia and the necrophilia, the dead bodies. And this is a guy, one of the few people who is allowed entrance into the highest levels of the royal family, who brags, I get things done, who's bragged to journalists is now coming out that children were his little slaves. And, I mean, you look at photos of this guy, just type in his name, Jimmy Savile, into search engine. He is the archetypal image of the pervert you think you would see in the park with the raincoat. Now this just broke today, and the reason we got Brian Garish on, a reporter, researcher, retired naval officer, the reason we got him on is because for years, in their research of NGOs and other groups, they kept bringing this up, and the CPS taking people's children. And they don't want children actually being abused. We've noticed this here. That's why you find about children being eaten by cockroaches and rats and, you know, weighing 15 pounds when they're 6 years old and the CPS knew and wouldn't help them. You see that in the news. But if a child is blonde-haired, blue-eyed, or God forbid black-haired, green-eyed or something, they can get $500,000 for them. You can be playing in your backyard, they say that's criminal, and they take them away. So we've known about this. We've even had state representatives on from Georgia who were later killed when they said, we've got the proof of the child rings. Her and her husband were murdered and burned in their home. It was just a few years ago. I mean, this is so big, folks, but here it is. Members of Parliament calls for inquiry into possible pedophile ring linked to Parliament. Tom Watson cites unnamed sources who told of a pedophile boasting about links to aid of a former prime minister. Well, the point is, they now admit that this in a bunch of newspapers, that this pedophilia was rampant, the police will do nothing about it. Is this the evil cement that brings these people together? So we're going to break all of that down here today with Brian Gerrish of the British Constitution Group. And they also, of course, have the UK column news site, and they've launched their TV show. Really great to see them developing in the last few years and really be a force to be reckoned with. And, of course, they're being censored more and more. Their YouTube videos are being taken down, you name it. So who knows how long this will be available. But Brian Gerrish is a prominent figure in the British Constitution Group and the Lawful Rebellion Movement. Gerrish is active on the seminar circuit and routinely gives talks to BCG meetings. And he exposes, again, the big NGOs. Now, that's quite an introduction. I just wanted to give you some background. But before we get into the pedophile rings and, all of this type of stuff with Brian Gerrish, the reason I originally wanted to get him on a few weeks ago is we have been fighting NGOs with direct UN and direct federal funding the same way he's been fighting them. And these are basically fake grassroots that come in with unlimited funding, and they get their mayors in, their county commissioners in. They literally get laws passed to take your property off use. I have to liken it really to a mafia, but it's all done in a simpering NPR soft voice. We started covering how they say Austin is a UN model city and how all the towns around us are going under it. You've seen those last three reports by our Aaron Dykes and Melissa Melton. So the program they're going under is the program we're going under. And, you know, my father manages dozens of dental offices, and he works and consults with some of the biggest medical managers in the country. And he was meeting with one that he's known for several decades last week. And the gentleman said, you know, I was sent to a executive month-long business school at Harvard. And I mean, this guy manages billion-dollar companies. And he said, your son is absolutely right. They admitted world government's coming in. Foundations are going to run everything. They're going to be exempt. Their NGOs are going to be their foot soldiers as a synthetic fake democracy that then stands in and replaces everyone else. And that's what the Rockefeller Foundation and others have set up. And they call them stakeholders. So, again, enough from me giving you that basic breakdown. Brian Gerrish joins us, and we'll be giving out their websites as well and get into this huge breaking scandal of people like Savelle openly bragging they were doing this to people and just openly flaunting what was going on and involved in all these children's charities, just like Sandusky. It is such a nightmare. But, I mean, look at what the Romans did during their decline. This is a sign of a society about to collapse when the worst are able to get into power who crave it. Brian Gerrish, thank you for joining us tonight. From your research, how does this foundation take over ARM work? How deep is it? What is their goals? And then expanding into government networks of different types of criminals who are compromised.
Right, okay. Well, thank you, first of all, for the invite to be on the show, Alex. It's great to join you again. And thank you for kind words about UK Column. We've been learning a bit from what you've been doing. So thank you very much for that. What we're really seeing in UK, if I summarise the situation at the moment, we're watching a steady breakdown of everything. So the schools don't work properly. The National Health Service, the hospital system doesn't work properly. The armed forces are being cut and cut and cut and cut. The transport systems don't run. Politics doesn't work. Everywhere you look at the moment, there's turbulence, there's change. Everything is changed every couple of weeks, every month. Nothing's stable. And people are getting an increasing sense of breakdown. If you start to analyze what is causing this, you find that we've now got thousands of organizations, a minimum of 6,000 non-governmental organizations, which are working in the country. These are change agents. I'll come back onto that in a minute. We've got something like 171,000 charities working with a budget of £44 billion. If they were all doing their real job and being charities, surely we would have no problem. If they were spending £44 billion, we would have nobody who was hungry. But actually what these organizations are doing is they are carrying out an agenda, some of which is coming through government. But more and more of the agenda is coming in directly from the United Nations. If I just summarize those groups, 171,000 charities with a budget of £44 billion, a minimum of 6,000 non-governmental organizations, and we've now got a minimum of 1,300 government departments. So there's this huge bureaucratic load, which is suddenly on everybody's backs. And what is happening is that a creeping agenda is being driven through those organizations. And democracy, I know democracy, we could argue whether that's good or bad, but assuming that people having a vote and elected representatives, that's good, the old system. But what we're now seeing is exactly what you've just mentioned, Alex, which is that these organizations, which are totally unaccountable to ordinary people, are now brought into the government and local government decision-making process as stakeholders. So we suddenly now find that charities are being asked their opinion as to what should happen with government policy, whereas ordinary people are being pushed to one side. And we can take it a bit deeper very quickly, because I can say to you that recently the United Nations opened what is effectively an embassy in Scotland. And so instead of just having United Nations cells operating in UK, we're now seeing the start of formal UN structures. And this is the tentacles of the United Nations One World Government now starting to be visible within UK.
Well, Brian Gerrish, just interject, because the points you're making from someone who's researched it, it's so shocking to know it's the same agenda. But when I've confronted these people and been around them, they are military-style operatives. No matter what town, city, state I go to, it's the same nomenclature, different groups, but you go track them, all funded. And you go to the UN website, they brag. Schwarzenegger said 3.5 years ago at Copenhagen, when they couldn't get it internationally through, he said, "I will head up the groups taking over the states, the cities. We will get them that way." I mean, people can look that up, and that's what they're doing. We are facing literally a new type of warfare, which is globalist-funded, systematic takeover with synthetic local operatives who are there, and they know what they're doing, and their goal, because I've dealt with them, and they brag about this, is a post-industrial world. They've shipped our jobs overseas through globalism, NAFTA, GATT, same in your country. They have demonized the family. They have taken over the churches. They have taken everything over where you don't get tax exemption unless you play ball with them. If you do, then you get taxpayer money. And they have just created their own opposition so that they can then act like that there's some type of choice, as you said. And it's how do you fight such a scientific takeover system? And when they're trying to implode things, so you will implode into their arms, and then the charities can then pose as the saviors.
Right. How do you fight it? This bit, I think, is very easy. They can do what they're doing, Alex, as long as ordinary people can't see the method, and they can't see the structure. Now, you've just described it. It's like, on one hand, it's like the tentacles of an octopus stretching into society. It's little cells. It's almost like a cancer growing. You can't see it initially, therefore you can't fight it. But the moment we and other people describe who these organizations are and how they work, this is 90% of the problem. And we are now finding that people in UK are waking up. We can describe what these organizations are. We can describe how they're working. And the moment people can see it, all of a sudden it's like a light coming on. There's something else I'd just like to say to you, because I think we might discuss it. But key to this agenda is the fact that Saul Alinsky is a major part of this. Now, Saul Alinsky is within Obama's policy. This man was a subversive. He was essentially Marxist doctrine, but he believed in pushing the takeover via small, creeping, incremental steps and getting into the lowest levels of society. He wanted to be in community groups. He wanted to be in the local football team. He said that basically the task, the drive, the political agenda had to go into every single area of society. Now, Saul Alinsky is the declared strategy within the Obama administration. It is also the declared strategy within the Conservative Party and Liberal Democrat.
And tell people who he dedicated his book, Rules for Radicals, to.
He dedicated the book to Lucifer. So it should be very, very very, very easy for anybody with any form of real spirituality to look at this man and say that what he was up to was no good. He didn't pretend. He didn't try and hide it. He dedicated his main strategy book to Lucifer.
And let's expand on that. What's so shocking, I've studied this, and I know you're very informed. I've never brought this up to you and never heard you talk about it because I check out the UK column site quite often. And we'll give that address out to people, the best address for people to visit here in a moment. But expanding on that, I have tracked this back to the French Revolution, roughly 220 years ago, which was not like the American Revolution or others. It was purely demonic, satanic, Luciferian. They were devil worshippers. This is in the mainline history books. And George Washington spoke out against them in public letters against the Illuminati. It is the German Illuminati through France. The Jacobins, they wanted a 9-day week. They wanted to end the family. They wanted to tear down civilization. They wanted to be able to have unlimited power themselves. And then I study that. Karl Marx, Engels, all those guys, they even gave odes to that. And you follow it right through. This is not something from Marx and Engels. This is not something from Lenin. These are Illuminati devil worshippers. Because it's not just Saul Alinsky. They all, when you get down to their final, you know, documents, they're all, go ahead and admit they're devil worshippers. I'm sorry, go ahead.
Well, the thing that I always like to push with people is that if you want the evidence, just do the research with Obama policy or the policy the Prime Minister of UK, David Cameron, is pushing. The Saul Alinsky doctrine is there embedded in the party politics. It's very easy to see. So that is one thread going through. The other one that has been combined with the Saul Alinsky doctrine is the use of neuro-linguistic programming, NLP. And this is what has made this new blend so dangerous, is that you're not just training people and trying to indoctrinate them by putting them in a classroom and talking to them for 8-10 hours. You're not having to drum the doctrine into their heads. You can now use neuro-linguistic programming, which is a form of behavior modification, and you can drift this doctrine straight into the minds.
And by the way, executives, for people that don't know about Delphi Technique, NLP, all the major executive courses that are pushed by government and others in Europe, England, U.S., Australia, Canada, and it's a global model, but that's where it's coming out of. If you listen to NPR, our national public radio, or your BBC, it is the same soft cadence and the way they do things. And then it turns out they're actually, this is not even hidden, they're sent to classes to do this, and they're literally, to boil it down, trying to hypnotize people.
Alex, in the UK column, we previously printed an expose article on the British government using applied behavioral psychology. We talked about dates, we talked about meetings, we talked about publications, and in one of the British documents, which is called Mindscape, you can find it if you search for it on Google, Mindscape, in there they admit that using these procedures, people will have their views and values changed, and they won't know that that has happened. Or if they do realize that something has changed in them, they won't know how it's happened. This is very, very dangerous stuff. And we also exposed that Cameron's cabinet were colluding with French behavioral psychologists in order to exchange ideas as to how the British and the French public could be psychologically moved into the new frame. And of course, the new frame is to absolutely accept this stakeholder type society leading you towards a one world order dictatorship.
And basically, you get money, you get treated like royalty up front if you join one of the hundreds of flavors of NGOs, which even create artificial conflicts sometimes with each other, but within controlled paradigms. Explain what stakeholders are. Explain how when they have these Agenda 21 meetings that they call different things, we've been to them, we've shown it, it'll say, when you come to this meeting, you agree to what we do. And then they have you write on sticky pads only five or six different outcomes that are all basically the same thing. It's creating false agreements. It's saying everyone agreed. It's false choices. And again, you can buy the books like you just talked about. And all it is competing psychologists and psychiatrists who see themselves as the priest class, literally through television, the schools. We're just turning ourselves over to them. Speak about some of the key buzzwords that you see in England that I notice are the same as here. And then where they want to take us from your research. And I notice you're gaining some steam because you're telling the truth, getting a lot more support. What they're trying to do to shut you down.
Right. Well, the key bit that we have stayed with is trying to expose the main control structure. And in UK, but it's spreading across the world, this organization, Common Purpose, has been used to spearhead this change to the new system. And what Common Purpose did was started to recruit what they called future leaders. And these are people who were then put through training programs. We know NLP is being used. These people are being reframed to think in a different way, to believe in this new system of stakeholder government. And then these people were then placed in organizations where either they would be promoted into positions of power or people in a position of power would be drawn into the training anyway.
And again, that's the NGO model the UN's had for 60 years, run by the RAND Corporation and the Pentagon here, which again are controlled by the big megabanks, trying to use the U.S. to set up world government while imploding us, using England to build the world government, while at the same time setting us up for final collapse. And my cousin was in it because he was top of his class. Everyone who's top of their class gets approached and they say, you're going to get free college, cars, everything. And from the time they're in junior high, they put them in Model UN. And my cousin got out of it by the time he was a freshman in high school because he had patriot parents. They thought, well, let this be an education for you, but know what it is. And I ended up going and covering this in my first film, where they get all the smartest kids, bring them to the universities, and openly tell them world government is the way. My father was top of his class, and they did state testing. They took him to UT when he was a junior in high school. This is in the early 60s. And called him and the top six students in the state out of 150 they brought to UT to test. And they told him we're establishing world government. They told him we're going to set up eugenics. And they told him you're going to be part of the super class. Now, my cousin didn't get that high. My dad never even told us this until my mother was seeing my film Endgame before it had been released 6 years ago. She said, I don't believe it. This is too much. And my dad suddenly said, no, it's all true. They tried to recruit me. The point is, even people it happened to don't want to talk about it because it's so conspiratorial and so bizarre. Go ahead. I'm ranting.
Alex, the key thing is that they subtly recruit, as you've described. But the real danger now is that you can put people in a 48-hour course. You can use these very subtle applied behavioral psychological techniques on them, and you can drift their morality, their thought process onto a new set of tracks. It won't work with everybody. Some people will drop out, but the striking rate of this now is more and more successful, so that after you've pushed people through these courses, they actually think in a different way. Many, many people in UK now are talking about seeing public officials who they say do not act normally. You can't have a discussion with them. You can't reason with them. They are very aggressive. They're very dominating. We've seen this particularly with the police. British police, who used to be quite mild-mannered, are going through training processes that are making them very, very aggressive.
Oh, no, that's admitted. I mean, what you're talking about is cult programming. First, they profile the type of people they want, depending on the job. Then they put them into peer pressure modes. Then they condition them to the point that here in the United States, anyone doubting this, just type in police taught founding fathers are terrorists. You'll see footage sent to us and others. And they actually get cops to then think veterans are terrorists who you're going to have to arrest. The founding fathers were bad. Freedom is bad. I mean, this is like a body snatcher movie. I'm sorry. Go ahead and break it down for people.
Well, I just pick up on the fact you started to talk about education, and I've got on screen, I've just called it up while you've been speaking. I've got a document. It's called The United Nations Matters, and it's teacher's notes. Okay. And this is just a little statement from this United Nations document for teachers. It says UN staff are international civil servants and answer to the United Nations alone for their activities. When joining the UN, staff members take an oath not to seek or receive instructions from any government or outside authority. To me, that is treasonous. If you have Americans who are working anywhere with the UN, this document says that those people have signed up to work with the UN, not with the United States. And this is the real danger of the United Nations. It gives the impression that it's there to help people in the world. It's there to help try and feed them, to solve problems, to bring governments together. But in fact, what it is doing the whole time is creating this single vicious one world government. And it's in black and white here. You are to answer to the United Nations alone. Yeah, they're not even hiding it when you know where to look.
Brian, it is so painful when you read all their own documents, how they brag, how they're going to take over incrementally, how when they're done with us, a revolt of the plebes would be like a revolt of sheep against the practice of eating mutton, to quote one of the Nobel Prize winning globalists. Was that Bertrand Russell? They just go on and on and on with their arrogance. And I've actually been, you know, at meetings and things when a camera's off and globalists come over and go, yeah, of course we're taking over and we're going to kill you when we finally take over. I mean, to know that this is a power cult, a gang, worldwide, world government, funded by the big six megabanks, who are now on my TV every day now, saying world government's been established, the euro is imploding Europe, the final sovereignty is being signed over, you will not have single family homes anymore. You will live in dormitories. Schools all over the U.S. are giving inoculations without parental consent when that's a felony. I mean, they are already will to power, just doing what they want. I've hiked for 20 years on the Barton Creek Greenbelt. They're now just shutting parts of it down as an exercise of power, and then only their little local green guardians are allowed to go in. I mean, I'm going under feudalism. I'm going pre-Magna Carta now that our ancestors fought for, 1215. We are literally seeing a new dark age dawn of these mid-level and high-level globalists, but their minions, like you said, are just brainwashed and believe in what they're doing. And if you even try to reason with them, they get violently angry and have no intellectual capacity and love their servitude. And to know it's a scientific takeover, I don't think, you know, viewers out there watching for the first time, I hope they understand this isn't a game. Okay, yeah. I mean, there's so much research, so much proof that it's unbelievable to even deal with it, and to know the NGOs, to know that the UN runs these horrible operations worldwide, to know they're the bad guys, and to know they're taking the once light of liberty, England, the United States, and other countries that literally wrote the book on modern freedom, and that now our countries have been turned into engines. I'm sure you saw this, but now the EU is putting out a new star that's got hammers and sickles all over it. And I saw the article and I said, that can't be true. And I went to the EU site and they're putting the posters up with hammers and sickles. In fact, that's on Infowars.com, guys, if you could find it to the crew. I mean, Please, I mean, you pause for me to interject. I don't want to. You've got the floor. I'm going to start ranting. Just go over who they are, what they're doing, how they're changing, and then let's start getting into the goal of wrecking the family. And that, and this is literally captained by a bunch of Jimmy Savilles and Jerry Sanduskys. That's what's so horrible, is it isn't just cold-blooded dominators. These are will-to-power sickos. That's why they crave the power. So we'll be helpless.
Yeah, well, Alex, one of the things people who are newcomers to this are going to be really shocked by what we're talking about. But of course, people who are awake and they know at least something about what's going on, the key question they want to know is, can we do something? And something that I've always believed in is that things had to get worse before they would get better. Until people started to be shaken a bit, until people started to be concerned, uncomfortable, not enough food, hadn't got a job, can't heat their homes. Until there was pressure, we couldn't really get the message over. Now, I think we're at this very delicate point at the moment, that the other side, they are cold, evil, and very arrogant people that are driving this one world agenda. But their arrogance means that they are steaming on. They're doing things faster because they're getting worried about the speed at which people are waking up. And now we've got an opportunity. In UK, you can talk to people. Maybe they're okay. They've got a job, but their children haven't got a job. Or you see in a city that the shops are closing, the pubs are closing, industries closing down. And people saying, what is going on?
Which is by design in their own documents to make us dependent. People think communists can't produce. It's worse than that. They want you starving.
Absolutely. But now people are getting hungry. They're also getting hungry for truth and information. What is happening? I found in the last 6 months in particular, and I know if you talk to other people who are on the sort of talk circuit in UK, they're also feeling people are changing. They're hungry to know what's going on. And when you start to describe what's going on, they don't laugh at you anymore. They listen and they're talking to their friends. So I think I've described it sometimes as saying you're a soldier. You're waiting in line with your rifle. You see the enemy advancing on you. You can't engage them until they're within range. And we had to wait until the situation got to a stage where we could show ordinary people what was happening. And then you could say to them, right, you need to start fighting. And the fighting aspect is so key because if we have people getting panicky and starting violence, that is going to take us down the wrong path. At the moment, we need it to stay as calm as possible for as long as possible so that we can spread the information people need about what's happening. And you tell me if you want to jump subjects at this stage, but I can tell you that the Jimmy Savile exposure of the paedophile rings at the highest level of the British establishment.
Yes, we're going to get to that in a moment because, I mean, now you've been talking about that for years. I've been talking about that for years. But what you just talked about is don't fire till we see the whites of their eyes. You've got to have the enemy up close. That's why we've raced while we knew this was being built, to try to get people that were more informed or more intelligent to see it, to get ready. The enemy has taken a long time to get to this point. We're actually making huge gains on them because we've got right on our side. But
Alex, they, in my opinion, and certainly in UK, the establishment is beginning to rock. They are very worried people because they are seeing ordinary people on the streets doing things, saying things, taking action that they've never seen before. And I know that in the establishment, there are a lot of very frightened people.
Well, Zbigniew Brzezinski said that 3 years ago. He's one of their top planners. And then he said it again. He said it again in his new book this year. And he said, the people see past our puppets. He said, the world is awake and staring right at us.
Yes.
And so he basically said, he went on in one speech to say, it'll be much easier now to kill a million people than to convince a million people. And it is not easy to kill a million people. You know, his point is that they're getting to the point, well, your own Ministry of Defense, what, 4 years ago said, the public's going to revolt against us in this takeover. Our own Defense Department, well, I talked to the troops all day. Just 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 20% were awake. 90% is the number I get from officers and other people. The police are starting to wake up, but they're trying to replace them with these new kind of dumbed down control freaks. So we're in a race. But let's go back and talk about your story as an example of success, what you've been able to do and how they've tried to come after you. But by the grace of God and support, you're there bigger than ever. What woke you up to these NGOs and their program?
Well, that was just part of my original story in the city of Plymouth in the southwest of England when I'd been out of the Navy a few years. And in my city, I suddenly discovered the most amazing corruption, public money just disappearing. And when I started to look into this, I just couldn't believe what I was seeing. That was one thing, the fraud and corruption. And then also, I'd been trying to help young people with jobs and skills training because we had a lot of long-term unemployment amongst young people in particular parts of the city. When I tried to get a program in to give those young unemployed people real job skills, I was attacked for it. And this was extraordinary. Why would somebody attack you when you were trying to help a community? Well, of course, I now know that the reason was that the real agenda is to break communities down. You don't want young people with education. You don't want young people with jobs. So it was the combination of the fraud and corruption and the fact that when I tried to help young people in my city, I was attacked. And that was quite vicious. In no time at all, I had people trying to destroy part of my business. I had business colleagues warned off me. I was dangerous. They'd lose contracts if they stayed dealing with me. And then eventually it got up to death threats and threats to my family. You know, I'd spent 21 years as a naval officer. I thought I was out there doing the job, in the Cold War at least. And somebody else was protecting the streets of Britain. But what I actually discovered was that while I was out doing my job at sea, these bad guys were running amok in the country. And that was the point that I decided I wasn't just going to sit back. I was going to do something. But I tell you that it's been brilliant to see the change, particularly inside the British police at the moment. Yes, there's a lot of police officers that have been totally indoctrinated. They are like zombies. Some of them are even now committing suicide because they've been so screwed up with courses. But it was last year there was a demonstration up in London. The unions were demonstrating around Parliament. I went up, I talked to some of those people. But Parliament was so scared of that protest that they had police officers shoulder to shoulder around the Parliament buildings. So I went along talking to those policemen. And one of the things I said to them is, you know, the criminals aren't these people on the streets. The criminals are inside Parliament. And it was interesting how many of those guys said to me, we know where the criminals are. And I think this is a key part, although you will see in America vicious action by American policemen or the same by the army on the streets. We are seeing it here in UK as well. We haven't seen the army on the streets yet, certainly the police. But when you take the trouble to talk to the police, you discover that many of them are now waking up. And they are looking at the material that you're putting out, Alex. They're looking at stuff we're putting out. They're looking at stuff that Ian Crane or David Icke's talking about. And when you say to them, who are you going to fight for? They say, we know which side we should be on.
Well, that's another great point. Police and military are ordered to beat up peaceful protesters. Under the peer pressure, most of them do it, but they do it once, and then they have a breakdown. And that's what's happening is When these globalists order them to do wrong things, a lot of times they do it the first time, but then the crisis of conscience happens. So we have to know that, and that's what's beginning to happen.
Yeah, and this is why it's an important thing that yeah, the bullies, sometimes you can't do anything with them. They're gone. Leave them. The people you want, you're always looking for the officials who will listen. And we know now in UK, there are officials inside the court system that are starting to ask, why are these people talking about common law? Why are these people talking about the Constitution? Why are these people talking about corrupt courts? So we know inside the magistrates, that's the lower level of the judges effectively in UK, they are starting to ask questions about what's going on. We know that judges are beginning to question what the policy is coming down through government for these secret courts. And we've just got to keep pushing, because the information, the reality, the dangers of what's going on in Britain and America.
Yes.
This news is beginning to spread very quickly now. We've just got to keep pushing.
Well, bottom line, I want to shift gears into the really nasty stuff here in a moment. And just spend about 15 minutes on that in this lengthy, in-depth interview. Brian Garish, who exposes Common Purpose and some of the other big NGOs. You can go to cpexposed.com. But the big news site that's really got a lot of excellent material in their TV show and more, which unfortunately I found to be pretty darn accurate. I wish this stuff wasn't true, is ukcolumn.org. That's the best address, correct, Brian?
Yep, that's correct, yep.
Okay, so there it is. Now, I know you've got several other sites. I want to make sure I'm giving the big one out because I visit them all. Expanding on this, I think the biggest thing in the fight is expose these people. And I myself for many years would hold back, even though I knew how bad they were. It's like, this sounds too crazy. But if you know history, as I've begun this discussion, breakdown, actually history gets pretty crazy when good men do nothing. That's all that evil tyrants need to flourish, is that good men and women do nothing. And, I mean, I remember years ago when you started out, very little support, and now you're known all over the UK, all over the world, many other people. I know you don't want to talk about yourself, but talk about some of the movements that you've helped launch, lawful rebellion movement. You know, we have that here in our Constitution, Bill of Rights as well, because it comes out of English common law and Magna Carta. Explain what that is, because that's certainly got the system frightened as well.
Well, lawful rebellion was an idea that a number of us came up with, which was, it was just coming up with, it's almost like a stamp to say, you've got an organization. How do we know that your organization is going in the same direction that we are? So we felt that lawful rebellion, because it's a fundamental thing out of the Constitution, we don't want violence. But we do want people to say we've had enough.
That's right. There's many ways to rebel that aren't physical, people need to really rebel now before it gets physical.
Correct. Yeah. So with the concept of rebellion was a very emotive term, which a lot of young people certainly pick up on, because young people are rebellious. But we want it to be lawful at this stage. We're not encouraging violence. We're encouraging cold, calculated resistance to what is going on, withdrawal of consent. So, if you like, lawful rebellion was a brand. You could have an organization, perhaps it was interested in what was happening with food. But if you carried the lawful rebellion logo, then other people knew that you were doing your bit to fight this one world dictatorship. And that lawful rebellion concept has been very successful, because it very quickly moved out of UK into other countries. And it's just a stamp. It's not an organization. It's just a means of.
No, exactly. It's an idea. It's saying, hey, targets of opportunity, when we see corruption, we're going to resist it however we can, whether it's reporting on it, whether it's lawfully sabotaging it, whether it's seeing some bad globalist doing something bad and exposing it to their family. You know what? It's time to get aggressive with these people and just attack them because they're attacking us. We have absolutely got to attack them viciously.
Absolutely. Now, the other, come on to the other groups. One group that I must mention is the 9/11 Truth Movement in UK. I did a talk with them in Bristol many years ago, and I'll just give you this little snapshot of that. I gave a talk, and when I got to the end of my talk and asked for questions, nobody said anything. It was extraordinary. I'd never been in this situation before. So I looked at the audience and I said, nobody's got a question. And one man in the audience said to me, well, the thing is, Brian, that we're 9/11 truthers. All we are interested in is the truth about 9/11. And I said to him and I said to the audience, you haven't listened to a word I've said, because if you had listened to what I'd said, you would know that unless you understand what I've talked about, you will never get the truth on 9/11.
Well said.
There was this tension in the room, and then people started to ask questions. Well, 2 days later, I was told that there'd been a massive split in the 9/11 truth movement. Essentially, it was between 9/11 truth people who still believed in global warming and the other 9/11 people who actually had started to pick up on what I and other people were talking about, was that 9/11 was symptomatic of something much bigger going on. So 9/11 truth people, I've got a lot of respect for. They've done a lot of hard work, but it's great to see that they're now looking at what 9/11 was and how it happened as part of this much bigger picture.
Well, I think it's bigger than that. I've run into this. They had some NGOs and globalists and UN-connected groups trying to steer 9/11 truth up front. And I was invited to, you know, oh, come join these famous people. Come be part of all this stuff. This is very early on in New York. But let's just say it's Republicans that did it. Let's not say it was globalists that did it or criminal networks within government. They wanted to just say Bush did it when it really wasn't even Bush. It was, not saying Bush is a good guy, but criminal networks. And, you know, that's the key to this. You're right. If you don't understand their mode of takeover, because there's always been infiltration. Cicero wrote about the traitor is the plague. You know, they're within. They can infiltrate. The enemy that comes openly with their banner unfurled is not the threat. It's the traitor within that is the great plague, the great bane of civilization and good, wholesome societies, because it starts little and starts, you know, growing, and then they recruit more criminals in. But people've got to understand that this is a new type of war, because it takes the old infiltration, but takes even more time to do it, and slowly shuts down all the other free market systems in society while making everything crony systems, and that it's basically an organized crime model operating through government and NGOs. And I know I've said that probably 10 times, because if people don't get that, they don't understand what they're facing. And again, just going to city council, just because I normally fight international, national issues, but I started out locally fighting these people and learned some of this, you know, 18, 17 years ago, even before I got on air, 20 years ago, I was fighting them, about 19 years ago. But now going back locally just to nationally show what the UN's doing as a microcosm, now I understand even more. And you talk to these people and they'll just glare right back at you. They know fully they're operatives. And I think that's what's shocking, is how low into the totem pole, because normally compartmentalization, you know, real knowledge is up higher. So many of these people, even in lower levels, they know it's an evil takeover, and they're trying to impress those above them to get up higher. So I think your exposure, my exposure, many other people's exposure, has actually had one negative side effect, in that there's a lot of evil grasping people now that have learned about the New World Order, but they've decided not to fight it. They've decided to go knocking on Dracula's door and asking to be bitten. Do you see what I'm saying?
I do, but the thing is, Alex, if we look at the number of people that are actually driving this emerging system, it compared to the mass of the population in America or Britain, the bad guys are relatively few. You know, we're talking, in my estimate, if we could put a fishing net out in the country and scoop up people and take them away because they're the problem, I think the number is 5,000 people as a maximum.
I agree.
Yeah, we're not looking for a lot of people, and the real people doing the damage, 500 of them maximum.
Rothkopf, the head of the Kissinger Group, he thought I was Alex S. Jones, the big New York Times NPR guy, big globalist. Right. So they got him on the show because his secretary messed up. And I was like, hey, how you doing? He goes, oh, great. How you been doing over there at the New York Times? And I said, no, this is Alex Jones. And he goes, oh, Alex Jones, the talk show host? He goes, well, I'll still do your interview. I'm going to try to explain to you how globalism's good. But his book, it says 6,000 super gophers worldwide and then only 20 families. But they're selling that, hey, look, we run things. We know best. That's what's crazy is this is such an open conspiracy. Why do you think they're announcing their world government so publicly now?
Because they're one of their biggest weaknesses is that they are arrogant. They are so arrogant, they think we are ignorant cattle. They can't imagine that we're capable of seeing through them. So they are cold, they have no feeling, psychopathic trends, they're antisocial, but they're arrogant. And I believe it's the arrogance that's going to be the downfall. They just simply cannot accept that ordinary people with a little bit of leadership and motivation are capable of seeing through them. And if I may, Alex, I'll just come back onto these groups because I think this is a positive thing, how people have woken up. When we've done talks in UK, talked to many different groups of people, sometimes you have people in a room and they're not even a group. But by the time you finish the talk, they start to work together as a little local team. And Birmingham, for example, was a good one. We did a talk there. And that night, two groups formed. They decided to call themselves Truth Movement. And across UK now, in all sorts of places, we have truth groups. And then, of course, we've also seen the Anonymous and the Occupy movements. Now, this is a bit more complicated because I personally believe that those movements were partly created by the other side. But what has happened is that the knowledge and the truth that we're all spreading has moved across into those.
No, I totally agree. Let me draw a diagram, then we'll get into the pedophile networks and how that ties this all together. Let me just draw a simple illustration because I've discovered this is how they work and then separately researched it and found they'd written papers on it. It's like you can reverse engineer something and then go look it up and then if you know the key terms and they admit it. Take Occupy, take any of this. They know there's going to be resistance to what they're forming, so they want to create artificial groups to so that people gravitate to that as opposition so it can then be siphoned back in to the overall globalist operation. So what happens is it's like having a projector that is shooting onto a screen and they say we're resisting, knowing that all the little individuals that know something's wrong, who the globalists are worried about, are going to come in. And then once they've got you projected, you know, they can go ahead and put their message out onto you once you've come to the light, you know, like a moth to flame. But as you said, they can't do this if we give them opposition. If we are outside of this, forming groups, forming ideas, our information is, once they create a projection and a mass, using military terminology, I know you know, once they create a political mass, our information is more truthful, more accurate. I say more truthful, nobody's perfect. And so what happens is their mass projection now becomes a point that we can enter as a site of recruitment. And it's an opportunity because everybody is so empty that's been drawn into these false systems. They're desperate for something real. The minute you come in, it's like you're 10,000 feet tall to a bunch of midgets. The operatives will come in and attack you instantly. If you know how to decry them as an operative, suddenly everyone comes into your orbit because the human species is hungry for liberty and freedom. And the reason I've been able to really confirm this is the globalists, they put out the Occupy call. Okay? Let me draw another image here. Let me explain this to people. They put out the Occupy call projection on the wall to draw all the little moths, the little souls, which are actually big souls, all the people in. Okay, they project it. They say, oh, there's no movement except capitalism's bad. We're going to get Wall Street. Well, that's actually bigger banks that want to demonize capitalism to have state-sponsored control to shut down all their competition and consolidate. But when we expose this within the Fed and other systems, they weren't able to co-opt everybody they'd gotten to gather together by putting out a revolutionary, you know, lawful revolt call. And so they had all over the country takeovers where the feds ordered the local police to beat everybody up and take them to jail and then demonize them. Because their attempt to create like an Arab Spring that Al Gore's called for, it failed. So again, I don't think people realize, like you said, when you go form little groups and confront them and have facts, they're not designed to be resisted. They fold like a house of cards. I know, I tell you, Brian, I got to get you on more often because I'm so impressed with your understanding of this. And it's not like, oh, we're impressive, we're smart. We've discovered how they operate from engaging them. You learn more in each conflict. And this data can literally defeat these people who are horrible authoritarians.
Yeah, the key bits is exposure. The moment the ordinary person can see and understand what's happening, what these people are doing, that, as I say, that's 90% of the battle. But they have, I use the word infected because they are a disease. They've infected society. And what we do is we infect them, but we use the truth. When Occupy movement was active up in London, we went up and met people. We went and talked to people on the streets and we handed out news, UK column newspapers. We talked to them about what we were doing. We talked to them about what we understood was going on. And then over a matter of 2 or 3 weeks, people from that movement were then emailing and contacting us, because they wanted more information. And after a while, they started to tell us that they'd realized that their organization was partly infected by the other side, who were running focus groups. It was just amusing to watch. You could see people who were clearly professionally trained coming in amongst people who were camping on the streets, and they were gently nudging them into doing things which they decisions which they wouldn't have made under their own steam.
Exactly. And really, they have all these NGOs who later bragged they called out the Occupy, hey, let's resist the corruption, so they could send out their operatives in a live laboratory war game. They're using us to war game. We've got to use them to war game.
And it absolutely works. Now, something that happened early last year up in the northeast of England was 600 people appeared on the streets when a judge was arrested for running an unlawful court. So effectively that was a citizen's arrest. But there were 600 people on the streets. They were talking, they were laughing, they were communicating with the police. There was no violence, there was no trouble. And it was so powerful because the police were curious. They'd never encountered, they were there with their riot vehicles, they had police dogs, they had all the force ready to go. And instead they found ordinary people talking and laughing and joking with them. And they were fascinated. They took hundreds of copies of our newspapers away from them. We had people coming out of office buildings saying, what is going on? Because they couldn't understand why so many people were on the streets, but it was also peaceful.
And in a world of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act, Eric Blair, a.k.a. George Orwell, and we're going to show a little clip of that here. But again, British tax protesters arrest a judge in act of lawful rebellion. Birth of British Tea Party, chaotic scenes as police clash with demonstrators. But it goes over that video. Paul Joseph Watson wrote about that. Now, we've gone an hour. I know it's midnight out there where you're at. Brian Garish joining us, ukcolumn.org, cpexposed.com, here with us at InfoWars Nightly News. Now that we've covered for people how the government mafia operates and how this collectivist tyranny model is metastasizing, let's just spend 10-15 minutes on the really sordid details, and I'm going to just sit back and let you roll. It's just that this Chavelle story is exactly like we saw with Sandusky, who was just the madam procuring these poor little children for people above them. I mean, it's all come out and no one's getting in trouble above them, that they all lied, they all knew. And I, again, for those of us that's alien to, You know, we'd rather stick our arm in a garbage disposal than hurt a child. We have to understand we are dealing, from my research at least, I want to get your take on this, the CPS, the authoritarian obsession with children we saw in the Soviet Union, Nazi Germany. A lot of authoritarians get into this because they want the uniform and they want the power and they want to be able to carry out murders and tortures. Some are into women. Some are into children. Some are into just torture. But this is literally a legion of doom we're facing. And this new case, now with investigations in Parliament, this is a crack into the demonic world of these people. And you're over there and you've talked about this for years and now it's really coming out, which is another victory for humanity after so long. Brian Garrish, you've got the floor. Break this down.
Right, okay. Well, the first thing I'd like to say is credit due to David Icke on this one, because I read one of his early books and one of the chapters was talking about children disappearing in UK. I really didn't know anything about that subject, but he mentioned some things in my local area, the area where I live, in Plymouth in England, and it made sense to me. When we started the UK column newspaper, the first thing that happened was that people would ring us telling stories about their children being taken away falsely under false pretenses by the child protection system. And initially, I'm going to say I didn't believe some of the stories that mothers and fathers were telling me. And then eventually one lady came to see me and she said that her daughter was taken away from her at gunpoint in America. That was in Florida. So this is an English mother, English daughter. The girl was taken away from her in Florida. And that little girl, 10 years old, was flown back to UK and put in a mental institution where she was told that the pain, the physical pain she had because she was ill, she was that was all in her head. It was an amazing story. The mother showed me all the documentation. She proved to me that her daughter was taken away unlawfully, and that girl was never has never returned home. That was the first story. And then we got to the stage where we were getting three or four stories a week of children being taken away under false pretenses, false testimonies, falsified court documents, perjury in court. And then we started to hear about children taken away, and those children were clearly being abused. And then abuse victims started to come forward. And I began to research, and of course I learned from other people, not only in America but in other countries, who were saying that basically governments were themselves taking and trafficking and abusing children. Now, some of your audience won't believe this, but I'm going to say it's happening in America, it's happening in Britain, it's happening worldwide. And the abuse of those children is carried out by paedophile rings. These are not dirty men in raincoats. These are men and women right through the strata of society. But ultimately, these paedophile rings are being controlled at the highest levels of society. And what has happened in Britain over the last couple of weeks is that a famous entertainer, Jimmy Savile, has died. And since his death, it's emerged that far from being such a great man, getting money for charity to help hospitals and children, He's turned out to be a prolific paedophile. Over 300 victims have come forward. He was abusing children on his own. He was abusing them with other people. And there were other groups abusing these children. The British public have been stunned to actually discover that this man, who many of them thought was a wonderful man, he was doing great things for sick children, for injured children.
Just like Jerry Sandusky, exact same thing, running a children's charity.
But as the story has exploded onto the scene, of course, the first organization in the firing line is the British Broadcasting Company, the BBC. It sells itself on an international platform as being the bastion of truth and honesty and morality. We know that the BBC at the moment is simply a propaganda machine, And what it's now demonstrated with Jimmy Savile is that it had pedophile rings operating within the organisation, and the BBC has attempted to cover up those organisations. But more than that, we've now got the exposure in the last couple of days by an MP, Tim Watson, that there's evidence of the paedophile rings being connected straight with our politicians in Westminster. And this makes total sense to me, because when we have looked at the way you see local authorities, that's our local government system, taking and abusing children, this would only be possible with the connivance of our members of parliament and our courts. So the control of these paedophile rings had to be at a very, very high level. I'm one person who's investigated it. There are other people who've been warning about this for much longer. David Icke is one of those people. But now it's absolutely clear that we have paedophile rings embedded at the highest level of the British political establishment and the higher establishment. The moment we get into our lords and ladies, that's what I'm talking about. It's definitely in that area as well. And we are not talking about one or two children. My own research has said that 30,000 children are disappearing in United Kingdom every year. 30,000 children disappear, and yet there's no one agency that has been saying, hey, what's been happening to these children? I have police officers who are now talking to me on a weekly basis who report that they have been involved in investigations into child abuse, child trafficking, child prostitution. They have uncovered very big rings, including politicians and senior members of the police even and the military. And yet once they've done the work to break into those paedophile rings, their investigations are then suddenly closed down by those in authority.
Let me expand on that. The Texas Youth Commission, where I'm at, the Texas Rangers found out they were having stuff where the local Richies would come to the local CPS facilities and check out the kids they wanted and have the older kids have gladiatorial fights where some reportedly even died. And it came out and they fired the head of the state police because he wouldn't shut down the investigation with the Texas Rangers. And Alex, go ahead.
Alex, can I just come in there if I may? I discovered in the last couple of weeks a website about a young boy who was kidnapped in America. That's Johnny Ghosh.
Yes.
You know of this incident, but I've only recently come across it. When I read the testimony of that boy's mother, everything she said rings true with what we're seeing here in UK. And obviously her story is that her son was kidnapped to order by paedophiles, and those paedophiles were linked through to the highest levels of Congress. It's happening in America. It's happening in UK. And over the last couple of weeks in particular, we've now got other countries that are accusing the British government of kidnapping their children. Slovakia is now publicly attacking the British government for kidnapping children. There are people speaking out in Russia about it. Italian families are talking about it, and African families as well, African countries. So,
well, I was about to say, if anyone types in UN sex rings, UN sex slavery, UN white slavery, it's thousands of articles everywhere they go. They don't just murder and rape or fly little kids out. They actually barbecue them and stuff. I don't want to put the images up, but if you go to Google and type in UN soldiers burn child, I mean, it's unbelievable. How many, I mean, if you talk about a few thousand, you know, controllers each country, how many minions do they have, though? Because, you know, I mean, there's a lot of them.
Alex, just for Jimmy Savile alone, the police are now talking about a minimum of 300 victims. That's just in association with him. And, of course, they're only just starting to investigate the other people that were working with Jimmy Savile. But what is incredible about this paedophile case is this man had access to high-security mental institutions, Broadmoor. He was given the key so that he could get into that institution. He could sleep in there. He could abuse.
Well, they always do that. They always say that the people running the asylums are worse than those in it, because it's like Sandusky. It was at-risk mentally ill kids and stuff because, oh, they're mentally ill. I mean, this is incredible.
Well, of course, children who have any form of disability, if they're physically disabled or mentally disabled, or even adults that have a mental disability, these are prized victims for the paedophile rings because, of course, they make unreliable witnesses. This is a horrible subject, and when I talk to audiences about it, I tell you the room goes quiet, you see people go white. But we have got to understand that the people we're up against in America, we're talking about people in Congress, in UK, we're talking about members of Parliament in Westminster. We have got these high-level paedophiles embedded amongst the decision.
Well, look at all the male pages being pilfered by the Congress here. It's constant.
Yeah. But what I'm going to say is for us at least, the Jimmy Savile has been such a huge shock that we've now finally got journalists and media people starting to say, hey, what is really going on? And I can tell you, I've had two calls today asking me for information on material that we printed many months ago. Finally now, people are saying what these guys have been talking about is real. Yeah? So I've said 30,000 children disappearing in UK in a year. The figure for America, I believe, is nearer 300,000.
Yeah, it is.
Listeners to your program can do their own research and ask on a state-by-state basis. We're not talking about one or two children. This is massive child stealing and trafficking. Now, in Britain, part of the UN agenda is called Every Child Matters. Now, of course, when you see this on a document, most people, because they're good people, they're not suspicious, they're just nice, ordinary family folk, they think that any document that says Every Child Matters is to look after the children. But the underlying UN agenda is that every child is either there to be brainwashed into their new one world government, or those children are there as playthings for these psychopaths that are trying to put this system together. And if we talk about how we combat what's going on, I've found you can stand on the stage, you can talk about the New World Order, you can talk about fraud and corruption and taxes and food and the police, and some people get pretty emotive. They decide they want to do something. But if you stand on a stage and you say to people, unless you wake up, they're coming for your children, the reaction in people is incredible. When you finish your talk, there are people clustered around you who want to know what to do. And I believe
that's right.
We are now at the stage where the other side is beginning to move so quickly, this subject to the child abuse is a tool for us. This sounds very cold. If we're going to protect families, if we're going to protect children, we've got to jolt people awake with the fact that the people we're up against, they may look like a very nice, well-behaved senator, but in fact, they're a dirty pervert who is prepared not just to have sex with children, but to torture them and kill them.
Well, that's the whole point. They actually like torturing them, most of them. Absolutely. And you know, we have to come to this realization. This is what we're facing. And, I mean, look, our own Justice Department says CPS in this country is the most dangerous place for a child. 7 times more likely. People can look these numbers up to sexually abuse. 5 times just beat them up or starve them. So many of these foster parents and people that the state hires out just warehouse them, lock them up in cages. when real children are being abused by their caregivers or parents, they're left alone. But if they fit the profile of a healthy, well-adjusted child, Katie, bar the door. That's who they're coming after, and they're bold. They want tyranny because they want to exercise power. And to these demons, hurting innocent children is the ultimate prize. And you're right. We give them to them in the public schools. We turn our kids over to them. We turn them over to the television. We turn them over to the vaccines. We're turning our children over. We put them on a school bus. A government bus pulls up, and we just throw our child on with them. The government takes our money, builds the school to be the center of the society, to totally take over and run our lives. And it's criminal.
Well, children are our future. We've got to look after the children, otherwise we don't have a future. And you're absolutely right. Parents, I did it. Other people, parents, my friends did it. We just put our children on the bus. And you assume that what is being done to them is something good and productive. But I would say to parents now, you need to know what is happening to your child every hour of the school day.
Here's an example. Remember under Clinton, they tried to say teach kids in public school, five-year-olds how to masturbate. Remember that?
Right. Now, this program, let's stick with this point because this is a very important thing. One of the biggest weapons that the other side has used has been the liberal agenda. It's a slow, creeping breaking down of morality, and they've been so successful. One measure of this is the debate over the age of consent. You know, we'll say originally it's 18, and then it's suggested it should be 16, and then it should be 14, and then, oh, well, okay, it might as well be 12. So the liberalist agenda, which seems to be not too bad, okay, maybe sometimes they go too far, but they bring in the policy, this slow creeping agenda, and this has been very successful in attacking and breaking down the morality of young people. Today on the UK column live news show, one of the items we talked about is the fact that schools are now back on talking to children about sex in ever greater detail. And we highlighted a website that's been set up by one of the local health authorities where they're telling children they can do anything. They're describing anal sex in great detail. I won't go into some of the worst things of it. They're saying this is there to make sure children don't get pregnant. But what the website is really doing is teaching children the most depraved sexual.
Well, sure, it's all about robbing the innocence for these devils. That's what gets them excited. And we've seen in closing countless examples of this. I monitor satellite talk radio. I monitor terrestrial radio. I monitor the comedians. And the big hot thing that the system likes to hear now, and I mean, I'm just going through the dial and hear this, and I'm like, well, I only heard that once. Now I've heard it like 50 times the last few months, is talk show hosts joking about how they like to have sex with children. Or making fun of cripples and saying they ought to be killed. So, and again, it is total dehumanization. They just want to destroy our basic ethics so that we're rudderless and are demoralized so we can be run over. I mean, it's like Skinner said, we're going to get rid of dignity, morality. We're going to go beyond evil. And it's so incredible.
Right. So, but we've got two things happening here. We've got the attack on children and young people to destroy their morality. In fact, you could say it's the first stage in starting to groom them the way a pedophile would want them groomed.
TSA, groping them. They admit that's training.
Yeah. Now, the other thing that's going on, of course, is that the practice of pedophilia, of child abuse, is actually a weapon that the other side uses to control people. And what I can say is that when I joined the Navy back in 1972, you were taken through a security vetting process. They wanted to know whether I was a womanizer, did I use drugs, did I get drunk. What the security services were looking for were any dirty little habits that could then be used to blackmail me. We've now got to the stage by this progressive decline in morality. We have British politicians who take drugs. We've got the British politicians who steal their expense money. We've got British politicians that use prostitutes, male or female, it doesn't matter. They're having affairs, they're swapping wives. Now, the moment that is normal behaviour, how do you blackmail them? Now, what is the one thing left? Well, there's two things left that you can blackmail people over. One is the abuse of children, and the other is bestiality. So there's a gentleman, a senator in the island of Jersey, the Channel Islands, as we call them, between France and Britain. And the senator of Jersey, he was called Savray. He stood up and warned people about the abuse of children in Jersey, and in particular in the children's home, Haute de la Garenne. He was hounded out of his job. He was victimized. But he said one thing which is such a powerful statement. He says governments love nothing better than paedophilia, because paedophilia is the means by which they can control people. So you've got these very, very dark people at high level. They want to draw politicians and bankers and top policemen and military men into this depraved area of child abuse, because the moment they've been caught in that net, they can be blackmailed to do the rest of their bidding.
Exactly. It is a very evil design, and it is just unbelievable what we have come to in this country and in your country and all over the world, and only exposing it will turn this around. I know it's there at midnight for you or past that. Brian Garrish, I look forward to getting you on the radio show very soon. I want to remind the crew, if I end up forgetting with 1,000 things going on, let's get Brian Garrish on the big syndicated radio show in the near future. People out there watching, get this video out to everyone. We're going to let you go, sir. Thank you so much for the time.
Can I just say we'd like to return that compliment. We'd like to have you with us.
Anytime you'd like. I'd like to set it up, sir.
Okay. Thank you very much, Alex.
All right. God bless you and take care. Ladies and gentlemen, this is not sensationalism here. I wish this wasn't the case, and I have to say, if we're guilty of anything tonight, it's not going far enough. But I can't be guilty of that, because this is so big, so out of control, so deep, so wide-reaching. There's no way to even be able to cover it all with the knowledge, with the research, with the things that we have gone over time and time again. This is a technocracy we're facing, and it's driven by people who love the will to power. Whatever there's bad, they want to do it. That's their exploration. That's their trailblazing, is into the pits of hell. I want to trailblaze into the stars. I want to empower the innocent. I want to truly see a level playing field. I want you, whether you're old, young, from Russia or Japan or Africa or the United States, I want you to be free. I want you to experience music, classical music, ideas, quantum mechanics. I want to see people alive, loving life. And I'm sick of watching groups of sicko weirdos getting together and dominating us and using our tax money to control us. In closing tonight, this has been a lengthy show. Great job of the crew. We're in an info war. And it is time for lawful rebellion, whether that's banner hangs or calling into talk radio or going to city council on fluoride or fighting for the Second Amendment or exposing Agenda 21 in your area. You can also support this operation. That's a serious form of lawful rebellion. That when you get a PrisonPlanet.tv membership, you really get 6 memberships for the price of 1, and it's $5.95 a month. When you get the magazine, it's truly a message in the bottle. Our third issue is getting ready to come out, and you'll get 12 issues, 13 if we have a few left, delivered to your door, shipping included, for $59.95. More than half the cost is actually the shipping. So we're selling this to you at cost. This, I believe, now that I've thought about it, this magazine, is one of the ultimate tools to wake up the novice or someone unaware. You know why? Imagine getting 12 or 13 of these in your mailbox over the next year. with amazing covers, powerful quotes, info, graphics inside. I mean, this is something that will really wake people up. This gives you a dozen shots to wake up your friends and family. Send it to your police department as a subscription. Just put in their address, pay for it, boom, it's going to them. And, of course, who it's being addressed to. Your state house, your senator, your congressperson, your local talk show host. Give that local talk show host a year's subscription to this, and I will guarantee you it's going to end up getting covered on local radio. It's going to probably end up getting covered every time the issue gets there, one of these articles. This is the message in the bottle, our truth fighting their lies and propaganda. So, again, this doesn't even fund our operation. We do this at cost. But you notice I constantly talk about it. Go get a subscription for yourself and then go give it to the local talk show host or have it mailed right to them. There's countless targets for the truth. Get it out to everybody today. Give it to your library as a subscription, and they will put it out on the stands. We've been doing 46 pages in the latest issues. We're going to 60 pages in the next one. Absolutely amazing. Great periodical. InfoWars magazine, InfoWarsStore.com to sign up for that. You can get the economic implosion issue as well. We're almost out of those, the first issue, but the people that subscribe now will still get that added on to their next 12 until this runs out. All very, very important. Give it to your local library today. Buy ProPure water filters at InfoWarsShop.com. 10% discounts with promo code WATER. Protect yourself from the poisons they're adding. All of it helps you and helps us. We promote things that are good and wholesome and get the word out. So, again, please continue to spread the word. Take this video, email it to folks, Facebook, Twitter it. This last, what, hour and a half? Yeah, this needs to be seen by everybody. Okay, that's it for this edition of InfoWars Nightly News. We've done our job. Now, please pay it forward and move the ball down the field. God bless you all.